Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Showdown's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corrigicole. This week, I'm joined by tour card owner, Astrid Carter, and TV presenter, cookbook author, model, cast member of Ladies of London, Caroline Fleming.
Hello!
So normally, just before we start recording a podcast, I say to our guest that in a podcast, you need to be five times as enthusiastic as you are in real life.
I've got a feeling. But you're not going to say that to me.
I don't need to worry
about
that.
You know you don't need to say that to me. Oh my anyway. God, he did say that. The poor glasses, the poor window glasses would probably explode.
They might. I also have a feeling that our first topic is not going to be a problem for you. It's about waking up earlier in the morning. 12 things you can do to wake up earlier in the morning. Do you jump out of bed in the morning?
I do. I jump out of bed.
What time do you get up?
Well, I'm one of these people who, I'm not the best sleeper in the world.
And it's a bit of a miracle if I sleep beyond 6:30.
When I wake up, it feels as if I'm put into a socket in the wall. I wake up, doing, and I'm out of bed, straight to the bathroom, have a shower, or go, because my children are still sleeping.
So you don't need to worry about having something to look forward to or booking a morning fitness class.
Oh no, isn't life enough? I mean, I'm just excited by the start of a new day.
I'm a bit the same, actually. Yeah. What about you two? Do you find it easy to get up in the morning?
I actually do. I'm very much a morning person. I know we spoke about this last week. Yeah, 100% a morning person. But the one thing that we did write about on this piece was about moving your alarm clock, you know, to another room. And I was saying this last week, I want, as of 2018, to not have my phone as my alarm clock. I really want to make a conscious decision not to use it.
What a luxury to have a phone as an alarm clock that you actually need to be woken up.
Yeah, well.
Well, because I have to get to work, but.
No, but what I'm saying is I've never woken up after my alarm clock's gone off.
It's never been what's woken you up.
No, never.
You just wake up naturally.
Yeah.
I never wake up on a weekend.
And it's pitch black, dark, and I have earplugs, and I have eye glasses.
you still wake up naturally.
I still wake up.
You're ready to go.
On the weekend, I always ping out of bed, 7:30. I don't need my alarm clock ever.
But in the week,
not that I like take coming to work at all. I think it's just like, you know, you have to get on
Definitely.
The tube. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I had a lecture from my husband this morning because he was working really late last night and kept me awake. And we then didn't go to bed until after midnight, and I woke up at 5:45 this morning. So I'm pretty tired today.
Yeah.
And I got an email today telling me that my bedtime routine was terrible and that Sherlock's you write enough features about this and you should know better and you've got to stop using your phone and blah, blah, blah. So
from your husband?
Yeah, from my husband.
Telling you about sleep hygiene.
Just telling me to behave. Telling me that my sleep routine is an absolute shambles and it's no surprise.
But do you need more than 6 hours sleep?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do. By the end of the week, it's really starting to take its toll.
If on the weekend, if you didn't have an alarm or kids, what time would you get up?
Probably would wake up, but it's funny. We went to bed on Sunday night at 9:00, and I knew that I had in front of me potentially 10 hours sleep that I could get. But to me, I start to panic that's such a long amount of time, so I kind of wake up every few hours. I'm like, I've still got this amount of time, I've still got this anyway. Anyway, I don't struggle to get up, but I'm just not a great sleeper.
But do you think that people actually spend too much time worrying about the amount of sleep that they get or don't get? You know, it's really interesting. My great-grandmother died when she was 97. And apparently every single day of her life, she said, I just haven't slept. And you know, they say that Winston Churchill, JFK, none of them slept more than 3 to 4 hours per night.
Yeah.
And I know there is a lot of concern, but I think, again, it's very, very individual. It's
very dependent
on how your body, how your heart reacts to the lifestyle that you have.
I think you're right. I've got good stamina. It's in my genes. My dad has very little sleep. But I always say to friends who've had their first baby, because someone said this to me once, just remember that no one died of lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Tonight you'll go to bed. Tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
You will sleep again. So I agree. And I say to myself the whole time, mind over tiredness. It's my birthday on Friday. I've got a really busy weekend. So I've got this thing that I really need to sleep this week. So I'm cross that it's Tuesday and I'm already in a bad place. But anyway, I am with you. I think we dwell on the amount of sleep we've had too much. I count the hours I've slept every single morning when I wake up.
Do you? Yeah. That's obsessive. Yeah.
From sleep to breakfast.
Yes.
Because we're told that breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Yeah,
most people would agree with that. But new research has suggested that there's clinical evidence that breakfast's reputation as the most important meal of the day might not be spot on. What do you think?
For me personally, breakfast is extremely important. My body, which I'm in very close contact with, and I feel everything, I'm extremely sensitive. My body very clearly asks for breakfast within 15 minutes of me waking. It wants, it needs to have food of some kind.
Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, if I came to work without breakfast, I'd probably, or didn't have it at my desk, I'd probably be hospitalised within about half an hour.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the funny story? So I was given a week's detox at the Viva Maya in Austria, their new place. They visited me there as a guest last October. And I thought, great, this is really awesome. Never done a detox before. And that would just be really kind to do to my body. On day three, I passed out.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I passed out and I was put in a sugar drip.
Because I'll be the same.
You passed out because...
Simply because I can't do that.
Your blood sugar
I
just
dropped. I cannot do this very light
Me neither.
Diet. I can't do it. I couldn't juice.
I can't juice.
No, I can't juice.
I stop making sense.
I feel weak
when I juice.
I literally can't think straight when
food.
I'm hungry.
I need proper food.
Yeah, me too.
And in the morning, I'm absolutely ravenous. Like you, like I could literally get up and eat like a three-course meal in the morning.
Although I do find
I can start the morning with a spicy Thai soup with a bowl of rice.
I do find that the earlier I eat breakfast, the quicker I'm hungry again.
Yes.
That's the only thing I would say.
That is true. And also, I think, you know, we're all of quite healthy weights, but people who do have weight to lose, if you do want to lose weight, skipping breakfast is definitely a good idea.
I don't think so. I would completely disagree with that. I think instead you should skip your dinner. The moment you start eating is the moment you start your metabolism. Mm-hmm. And your metabolism needs to work. If you, on the other hand, skip your dinner, if you're someone who wants to lose weight, then you will have an empty stomach and you will, instead of it working to burn, it'll take your fat deposits.
But for me, the thought of going to bed hungry is just like miserable. Like
I can't sleep if I'm hungry.
Yeah, same.
If my stomach's rumbling, I can't sleep. Yeah. And actually, Tor, I know you've written quite a bit about fasting, but there's quite a lot of evidence that if you're only eating for an 8-hour period in the day, that it's quite effective for weight loss.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And there's a rule that I think, you know, if you have dinner, it's the 12-hour rule, so you have to leave 12 hours, you should leave 12 hours between your dinner and your breakfast. So if you don't have dinner till 9 and then have breakfast at 7, you know, it's better to leave a 12-hour window, they say.
So Caroline, on that note, you've recently launched a cookbook.
Yes!
Cook Yourself Happy, which is not your first cookbook, but your first cookbook in English, is that right?
My first cookbook in English.
So you're best known in Denmark, where you're from.
Absolutely.
That's where you were one of the stars of America's Next Top Model.
Well, I was the presenter of the Danish version of America's Next Top Model.
Oh, you were the presenter.
Yeah. I was the Heidi Klum or the Tyra Banks or the Elle Macpherson of America's Next Top Model, where we had only Danish girls for 3 years. 2 years, we also included Swedish girls.
Wow. I'm glad I didn't watch that show. I think it would have been a bit depressing. But you've done your cookbooks in Denmark.
Cookbooks in Denmark, and I've also cooked on TV in Denmark. The very first show I ever did, The Baroness Moves In.
And so you've launched a book in the UK, in English.
Yes.
So we can all get a piece of Caroline and her cooking.
Yes.
Tell us, everyone's going to go buy the book, but tell us a little bit about the book and what the concept is.
The concept is to bring families back into the kitchen, because cooking is really fun. Cooking is, to me,
The book is called Cook Yourself Happy, the Danish way.
Are the Danish
the happiest people in the world?
They are, and have been known to be the happiest people in the world since 1970.
Well, if you're anything to go by, Caroline, I need to eat what you're eating. What kind of recipes are in here?
There is everything. I mean, there is literally everything, because I very much believe in eliminate anything. Why should you eliminate anything?
Kale, aubergine and broccoli bake. That sounds good.
That's like a melanzane.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Got you.
If you've got so many books, how do you get inspiration for your recipes? I always find that baffling when someone writes a cookbook.
My literary agent said to me, you know what, the first thing we need to do is to find a hole in the market. It's already a very saturated market. What doesn't already exist?
Please.
This book is every single of the most traditional Danish recipes, but I've evolved them. My grandmother's recipe is very different to my father's recipe, is very different to my recipe. I'm very much a product of the 21st century. I very much believe we are what we eat. So you will see a lot about being very mindful around where you source your products from. I've also evolved my very traditional Danish recipes with what my life has been.
which has been 42 years of living in different countries, having the privilege of traveling a lot, but also a deep, deep passion for health. I was a full-time model from the age of 18 to 23. And in that time, I knew that, you know, always being on the run, always being in different countries, my skin needed to look good and I needed to have energy at the same time. So my whole research into various health aspects happened already at that time.
And you think the Danish way feeds into a really healthy lifestyle?
I do. I do. And I think especially because we take priority in family. So meals are eaten together as a family. In Denmark, you're like an alien if you don't, as a parent, have dinner with your children every single day. They have breakfast together. The children most often have a packed lunch for lunch, and they have to dinner together every day. But what makes this magical, and what I would love for people to do with this book, is to literally take their children by the hand, open this book, let the children decide. What do you guys want to eat? Because then the children will come with you shopping and they'll help with the food preparation and they're actually going to really enjoy this. And it's a real quality way of spending time together. Instead of them sitting in front of the TV, involve them. Let them choose. Let them feel proud of the result. I made this. And it's going to taste so much better because I made it. This obviously coming from the children. And it's a really special way of being together, of talking together. People have forgotten how to talk.
Yeah,
people don't
quite.
Talk to each other anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't talk to their children. They don't talk to their friends. They don't talk to their family.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah, it's so true.
The happiness in this book is simply because I want to assemble people again. I want to remember what life is all about. And life is really about treasuring the time that we have together whilst looking after ourselves.
Yeah.
So the book is absolutely very healthy.
I've spotted Jerusalem artichoke and truffle soup. Mm. I mean, that is my idea.
That sounds amazing.
Can you give us...
I love artichokes.
Oh, artichoke and truffle soup. Yeah. Oh, it's just like... That's ultimate. Give us your three favourite recipes in this book.
Okay, well, the first recipe that I would recommend people to make, simply because it is so extraordinarily sophisticated, is the rhubarb soup.
Okay.
The flavour is beyond, you'll feel like you're a Michelin chef.
Is that a pudding or a savoury?
It's an ice cold soup. Ooh. Served with vanilla ice cream and toasted almonds.
So it's pudding.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay, that's one.
My second recommendation would probably be my little fish cakes.
Oh, delicious.
Biscuit fregadilla.
My other favourite thing.
They're super easy to make. And again, if you don't want to use fish or you don't want to use cod, you can use salmon. If you don't want to use salmon, you can use veal. If you don't want to use veal, you can use chicken. This is all about... you know, you can change an ingredient with something else. I would do the fish cakes with the 11 vegetable salad.
Okay. And the last one?
This shellfish casserole. So delicious. Either have it on its own with some delicious hot crispy bread or toss it in a good portion of linguine.
My family's shellfish stew.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds right up my street. Lots of them do. I read a piece in the Sunday Times magazine on Sunday.
Yes.
By India Knight.
Yes.
About girls and the length of her hair. You've got one daughter, two sons, is that right?
That's correct.
And she said, the premise of it was, girls don't have short hair anymore. When she was a child, over half the girls in her year at school had short hair. And it was the kind of punky, spiky, cool thing to do. You know, Madonna had short hair a lot of the time. But now, she says, she looks at her 13-year-old daughter's friends, and she said, the majority of them have long, sort of cascading locks, sort of princess-like hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't sit well with her. What's your take on that? I thought it was a really interesting
piece,
and it got me thinking about long hair versus short hair, and is one right and one wrong?
I mean, I had hair so long that I could sit on it.
Did you?
And I only lost it due to eating 5 pieces of Hubba Bubba just before bedtime, and it still tasted so delicious that I didn't want to throw it away, so I put it on my bedside table, and I woke up with it right here and had to cut my hair off.
Oh, that's devastating.
Yeah. Devastating.
That's
never,
beautiful.
ever chew Hubba Bubba before bedtime and put it on your bedside table. But I do think that all girls should have long hair if they want. I love long hair. I would still have hair to here if it would only grow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to criticise India Knight, because India Knight is India Knight.
It's not criticising, it's just having a different
She's a
opinion.
Legend, but I'm not sure I agree. She sort of talks about Disney and porn definitions and...
Mm. But I do think that, you know, looking around the office, everyone sits there with long hair, like, that's never tied up. I think I'm the only one who ties up my hair.
I always think if I had a prettier face, I'd love to have short
absolutely.
Hair. But I look at other people with short hair and think they look great. But 9 times out of 10, they've got very small, sort of delicate.
No, but can I ask you a question? Is this not a question of age? Don't you think that that's kind of like 60 plus that you should start considering going short?
Yeah, I disagree. I think women are keeping their hair longer.
It's like shoulder length. But I think it suits me so much better. I think longer hair on me actually looks a bit cheap. I think shorter makes it so much classier, I think. It's easy to keep in good condition, especially when it's this bleached.
But you've got nice, delicate, small
people. I think Carla as well is a good example of someone who has short hair.
She's got great short hair, but she's got lovely.
Yeah. I've always sort of hidden behind my hair a little bit.
Me too, mine's my security blanket. And also because I'm quite tomboyish, it's quite nice.
Oh, but your hair suits you, Astrid.
Yeah, I love your hair.
Rock and roll your hair.
Yeah, and you would be great with it shorter. Both in a bowl.
I always think if I could have my hair tonged every day and have lots of volume put in it, then I would love like a bob, which is slightly longer at the front. No, like slightly great, you know, slightly longer at the front and but a bit more messy and a bit messy,
bit lifted.
You know, then I could do it. Mm. But I think it's a really interesting conversation and little girls, I think
it's a really interesting conversation and we four have exactly the same length hair. And is that because it won't grow? Or is that a choice? I mean, I would have mine longer.
Would you? Definitely. And as you get older, do you feel a pressure to cut it shorter?
No, not yet.
I do a little bit.
No, I don't. But I feel 21, so.
Yeah, God.
But I think your hair is a good length.
Caroline's
is
a bit longer than mine.
But as long as it's healthy, I hate people who grow their hair just because they think they have to have long hair and then it's really straggly.
Or if you have very, very thin hair. I mean, I have thin hair, but I have a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I actually cut a load of weight out at the end, so it's actually quite thick. And when I was a child, I used to go to the hairdresser and they'd be like, oh my God, you've got so much hair. But I think if you've got very, very fine hair and not a lot of it, it doesn't look great. No. It starts to look quite straggly, especially as you get older.
It's got to be thick, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, and that thick, straight line.
Yes. You colour your hair?
I do highlight my hair in the winter months.
And how do you look after it?
When I've had it highlighted.
Yeah.
Oh, I use Olaplex.
Oh, do you?
Olaplex.
Olaplex.
I love
amazing,
it.
Amazing, yeah.
It's great.
I really struggle
and
with it.
And I use that once a week, and I think it's just...
From home?
Yeah.
When do you do it? After you've washed? Before? Is it like a mask?
Is a mask, so most people say before, but I often wash my hair, and then I use it in my steam shower. And I sit with it for 10 minutes and then I wash it out. And I do that once a week. Another thing that I love to do is literally to put a whole jar of coconut oil in my hair.
Yeah, this is what everyone
says. I love coconut oil. And I'm still a big fan of Moroccan oil, gotta say.
Do you?
Yep.
So you put the whole jar of coconut oil in your head.
I do.
And then what do you do?
Sit with it. Then I have to tie up because it's
smelling like a pina colada.
Oh, I love it. But I drench my whole body in coconut oil. I love it.
Do you? God,
and I've been told I have really soft skin.
George, you should try Olaplex. It is really good.
Yeah, you've got really shiny hair.
Well, I a bit like you, Caroline, I am naturally blonde, but I'm a sort of ashy blonde, and I like to be a bit blonder at the front.
So how often do you colour yours?
Probably every month, once a month.
Oh my God.
But only the front and only the roots, not to the end. So that keeps it in okay condition. Every time I go to the hairdresser, I'm like, is my hair in terrible condition? And
me too.
Time it's not, and then I get home and I look at it after I've straightened it and I can see the split ends. So I'm thinking, really?
Oh, well, that's
will you just be nice to me? But I should do more. But
Olaplex is really easy. Yeah, I sleep in it.
Okay, what about you? What are your golden rules of hair colouring towards?
I mean, I need my roots done so badly right now. I get my hair done every 6 weeks, only because I don't like having a root. And I know certain styles like Charlotte, she looks cool when she's got a bit of a root. Like, you think you probably would look cool if you had a bit of a root. But
I've got a massive root. I haven't touched my hair since before summer.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Like,
it
may.
That doesn't look good on me, but it looks good.
I have to have it all the time. But yeah, sleeping in hair masks is the way forward for me. Mm. Also, you just do it when you get home.
Do you sleep in coconut oil?
I don't, but I really want to.
Yeah, I do.
I'm just worried about the mess and having to get it all
no
out.
Mess, honey, no
what
mess,
do you
no
put
mess.
on your pillowcase?
Nothing.
Well, you just get into bed with your head covered in coconut oil.
And how many times do you have to shampoo it? Because it's quite greasy, no?
Twice.
Okay.
Twice works. Maybe sometimes three times, but most of the time I would say twice is enough. Mm. But then I'm a pillow freak, you know. I change my pillows on a very, very regular basis. Do you know how alive your pillows do be? And
oh, I don't want to know.
You hadn't said that.
I just thought I would let you know that if you put that stuff under the microscope, you would be a little bit freaked out.
So I very much believe in washing duvets once a month.
Most duvets can be washed, and if not, dry cleaned. And I boot my pillows once every 6 to 8 weeks.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Simply because it's like a strong cheese under the microscope. It's like a strong cheese.
Yeah, you're so right.
Yeah.
God, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like the actual pillow, not just the case.
Yeah.
Actually, you're so right. A duvet cover fits in the washing machine.
It does, and you'll see on all of them, washable on 40 degrees.
Yeah.
What, the actual duvet?
The actual duvet.
Mine would fit in my machine.
Of course it'll fit in your machine, and then put in a few tennis balls just to make sure that...
Yeah.
I should take it to the dry cleaner.
Yeah. When was the last time you did it?
Not my duvet cover.
No, your duvet.
Actual duvet. Yeah, I'll do it. I have a winter and a summer duvet, so I'll do it.
So you'll dry clean it once a year?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Well, twice a year.
I didn't think I even do mine once a year. That's terrible.
Mm. Okay,
and I'm really anal. I mean, my house is spotless. I am Monica to the...
Yeah, you're like me. Whatever completely level. OCD.
But I don't wash my actual duvet that often. Oh, God. Right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get home and that's going to be top priority. Anyway, how do we get from colouring your hair to your...
Coconut oil.
So every 6 weeks, Astrid, any rules colouring your hair? You do a bit, I know.
A little bit. I only to cover greys, but I don't want to... like commit myself to having permanent hair dye.
Such one, because I'm
like, yeah, it's a hassle, and I'm like very low maintenance.
Yeah, you're like me. Lazy. You know, I actually don't think I want to bother anymore. I'm just going to let the sun take it, and the grey that's coming out, let that be.
But the this feature, did you write this talk?
I did. Yes.
These Colour Wow,
what are they called?
Root cover up. They're amazing.
So good.
If you've just got a little bit of,
it's just
a little root cover up. So if you've got a little bit of grey or your root showing through, you just kind
of
paint
the front
it on.
Door.
It's, and that one's really good.
Oh, see, you've got all effects there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, isn't that amazing? Because I do have a little bit of grey. Isn't that interesting?
It's like an
colour.
Eyeshadow. Yeah. You just literally brush it on.
They've got blonde, redhead, and black.
Yeah, this is fabulous.
On the subject of hair, scissors at the ready. Because did you know that Pinterest's latest data has revealed that the search for curtain fringes have increased by 600% this year alone? So the curtain fringe, the softly cut fringe, is the kind of Bridget Bardot, Jane Birkin, bit longer at the sides.
Like grown out fringe,
a
bit Alexa Chung,
Francois
Hardy, that kind of thing.
And it's a really cool look. I love the look. We ran this piece and I thought, oh my God, that looks amazing. But I don't know about any of you, but I've made that mistake about a fringe.
Yeah, I have too.
Probably a couple of times in my life. And you know, it is a terrible look on me. Have you ever had a fringe? I feel like you're doing it a little bit now.
Yeah, I love this look. And I actually had this look for years, but there's been a few times where I've gone to maybe like a different hairdresser or something and they've just not.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quite got it right.
Like Kate Middleton, you had that fringe recently, that was a disaster.
That was,
hers was a bit dire.
Like, you know, you have those Facebook memories that are like flashback pictures from like university
time
or whatever.
Hop.
That keeps like really testing me not to get this done again.
Really? Yeah. You're tempted.
Really tempted.
I think the key is the long bits have to go to the cheekbone. It has to be that long.
It has
long.
To be really grown out, really like lived in.
Yeah.
It can't be too blunt.
I think you'd rock that look. Tor, have you ever had a fringe?
I have one of those awful side fringes.
Like
17, 18.
So
I used to like straighten it, so it was just like, oh, awful. Never doing that again.
Caroline,
never.
Well, I had, you know, like...
a proper fringe.
I had a Lego cut.
Did you?
Yeah, for, until I was at least six.
Right.
But you know what's really funny? My son, Nicholas, is identical. And he will not only be cut by me, he will not let anybody else. So I literally, he's cut like this, and then I've bought it like this. But I haven't done the fringe since.
Since you're six.
Since you're six.
Yeah,
you're still scarred by your fringe that you had when you were six.
I've just never had that desire.
It just can look so wrong. I think you've got a lot to lose by going for a fringe. However, Astrid, I think you should give it a go.
Yeah, I think you should too.
I might get one. Suit you.
Take one for the team.
Let's talk about smoking, because I saw on your Instagram feed last night.
Yep. How cool is that?
You have given up smoking.
I've given up. Well done.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So you smoked for how long?
26 years.
And have you ever given up before?
the three times I was pregnant, and then I gave up for about 6 months after each pregnancy. Uh-huh. After Alexander, I was back on 20. After Josephine, I was back on 10. After Nicholas, I decided I'm now going to be a controlled smoker, and I'm only going to smoke between 1 and 5 a day. And that has sustained for the last 6 to 7 years. And I really, really loved smoking. Like, really. Every evening when I put my kids to bed, I would go outside. Sometimes I didn't have one. Sometimes I wouldn't even have one. But when I did have it,
it was good.
I mean, I loved the taste of it. I just loved it. Did the Alan Carr thing.
Okay. And how does that work, the Alan Carr thing?
It's quite incredible. You come at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you're finished by 4:15. And up until 3 o'clock, once an hour, you're sent out to smoke.
So you go, where do you go?
20 minutes from Walton Street. 30 minutes from Walton Street.
For how long do you go for a period
from
of days?
From 10 o'clock in the morning.
But for how many days?
4 o'clock.
How many
just
days?
One day.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're smoking till 3 o'clock. So you're in this room with 10, 12 other people.
Right.
And everyone says why they smoke, you know. And she starts off by saying that we're all looking upon it as a good thing. You know, for some people it's stress, for other people it's various other things. I said, you know, my love of it came actually from being a child and falling in love with the smell of when my father lit a cigarette in a car and opened the window this much.
I look like a 70s child. How did my mother drive me around?
Yeah, but I'm a 70s child. You must be too. I mean,
80s, it was 80s.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm 70s. And that
but yeah,
smell,
I grew up with that smell.
It smelled like roasted nuts, you know?
Yeah.
And I've always loved
me sick. That's what
the taste of smoke, which is quite terrible. I've just loved it.
So tell us what happened. So you went along to Alan Carr.
I made a decision that I don't like the smell of it. I got to a point where it was the smell, because I didn't feel, again, my no matter, I didn't feel as if it was harming me, although, of course, I know logically that smoking is absolutely not healthy, and most people die of it, but then again, you take my grandfather, and he died when he was 87, and he smoked 100 cigarettes a day, and drank a bottle of
scotch a day. Well, you know. She was chuffing away.
So again, you just, it's so individual.
Yeah, but anyway, so you went along, and what do you do from 10 to 4?
You listen, you speak, obviously about why you're smoking. She does this really interesting thing of saying we all start as normal, and then when you've had your first cigarette, this pattern's going to start happening. You start craving the nicotine, and you only become normal when you've had the nicotine fix, and you start craving again. So everything about smoking is negative. You have a nicotine worm in your tummy, and then you have a monster brain. You've brainwashed yourself for a long, long time. Nicotine has left your body within 4 days. So if you think you're craving a cigarette, you're not. It's your monster brain telling you to have a cigarette. Let that just be a thought. Just let it go and say, no, I'm not going to give in to that, because I've decided that I don't want to smoke. And I made that decision. I'm going to stop smoking.
See,
it seemed really illogical. And I remember sitting there thinking, I don't think this is going to work for me. Seriously, at 2 o'clock. And I knew that it was going to finish by 4. And then something happens. Something happens all of a sudden where you think, this is the most stupid thing in the world. There's nothing positive about smoking. There's actually nothing that's good. I might love that flavor, but you know what? I get the same when I roast my almonds.
In the world, yeah. So you've done it. So I've done 21 it. Days.
22 days today.
So 22. Well done.
Yeah, amazing. And when I occasionally, you know, feel like one, I might just take a puff from my fingers or from a carrot or from a stick or from a breadstick. And it's really interesting because that totally does it.
Well, good for you, Caroline. I think that's it.
Yeah, well done.
Hopefully that will inspire lots of people.
I hope so. I really hope so. But it was quite amazing to see how many people commented on my Instagram on that exact post. Mm. So a lot of people saying, how do you do it? Help. Oh, and I'd love to. But I very much hope that it will inspire people to realise that actually what it really is, and that was the real message, is you've come here because you've decided to stop smoking, and this is a decision that you made and you need to stick to it.
Yeah.
And whenever your monster brain tells you to not stick to it, you just say, that's just a thought. Just let it pass.
Amazing. Let's talk about the flu jab. Do you have the flu jab? Nope. Do your children have the flu jab? Nope. Why not?
Don't need it.
Why?
We are rarely hit by the flu.
Touch wood.
We being you and your family or
yes,
or
one? My children and I. And I think that...
Why do you think that is?
Because we look after ourselves. If something is coming, if I can hear a slight croaking in the voice, I screw up on the levels of lemon and ginger and honey and things that I know will help them. Celery juicing, that is one thing that I think is a God's gift. You know, I will supplement them. Elderberry, I think, is one of the most incredible immune boosts, especially for children. So, you know, in winter periods, I do supplement with other things that will strengthen them. It's really interesting because flu jab and jabs in general, I've done all the jabs that we're supposed to give, all the vaccinations that we're supposed to give our children. I do think that our body needs to be able to process viruses and germs naturally. And I think blocking a flu, having been a human race on this planet for so many thousands of years, to me it's not a natural thing. I can understand when you do it when you're elderly, absolutely. And I can understand you would do it if you have something that weakens you naturally. But naturally, my children are strong. Mm. Naturally, I'm strong, which is why I would rather allow the ones who need it to have it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel like I need it.
Mm. Have you had it?
No.
Never. There's something, I'm not with you, there's something that just doesn't sit very well with Same. Me. Fine for elderly people, yeah. But...
Why? Why would you have
think,
it?
Do you I just think... I don't say know. You have to build up a, do you have it? A tolerance
well,
to these things.
My children have it.
You give your children the flu jab?
They get the spray at school.
The nasal spray.
That's why I'm
spraying her.
Oh, I haven't even heard of that.
We were always given it at school.
Yeah. Really? We never had it.
I never had it at school.
I never even heard of it.
I remember making such a fuss one year that I got my parents to write. You could opt out if your parents wrote you a letter, so I made such a fuss about an injection.
Did you get the flu?
I think I probably did. but yeah, I'm of the school of thought that, I mean, I've had my children vaccinated against chickenpox. So my children have never got chickenpox.
The front door. Are you serious?
I didn't know you could get that.
These are natural things that the body should have.
No, I feel, perhaps we shouldn't get into this debate on a podcast, but I feel very strongly, and I actually spoke to a doctor because I posted on Shared Ups quite a few years ago with my eldest. When I got her vaccinated for chickenpox, a lot of people waded in. And actually what's interesting, I think, is that in the States, in Germany, in a lot of countries around the world, it's given out as a vaccination.
Really?
But in the UK, we don't. And actually it comes down to cost. And I totally understand that the NHS is not a bottomless pit and that they have to prioritise. And there are other things that are more important. But one doctor replied and said, replied in response to people who were basically sort of attacking me for having my daughter immunised. And someone had said, all these vaccinations, so, you know, MMR, all the things our children have to have when they're born, are absolutely essential. And do you want to go back to an age where the life expectancy of people was 35 or whatever it was? And then ultimately we're a modern day society and these vaccinations are there for a reason. Now, the flu jab is a slightly different thing.
But chickenpox too. But I mean, how often do you hear of anyone dying of chickenpox?
I did a lot of research before I had the vaccination.
Yeah, and you have every right to make the decisions
you make.
And I
was very comforted by the fact that in a lot of other countries where they don't have an NHS system like ours, for which I'm hugely grateful, it's given out as its routine.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit like group B strep, which they don't test for in pregnancy in the UK because it's too expensive for the NHS. I ended up having group B strep. I only found out because of complications in my labour of my first. But now that they know I have it, I get treated for it in pregnancy. Basically, 30% of women have group B strep.
What is that, sorry?
It's a sort of something you carry, basically. And there is a point something something percentage chance that in pregnancy, that in labour, it can be passed on to your baby. If your baby gets it, it can be really dangerous and life-threatening. But the chances of a baby getting it are point. It is so slim that the NHS make a calculated decision that because of the cost to test women, and actually I think this is all changing, it's being prioritised now.
Is it just a standard blood test?
I think it's just a blood test. But in a lot of countries around the world, group B strep, it's in the States, everyone's tested for it. In other European countries.
Gosh. Is it genetic or how do you get it?
My sister in law has it, I have it. I mean, it's 30% of women carry it.
Okay.
It's nothing dangerous you would.
Is it a virus?
Know.
Is it a.
It's a. Yeah, it must be
it
something
must be.
Like that.
Could be interesting to do a piece
like of. Like a staphylococcus.
God, pass, I'm out of my depth now. But I just think it's interesting that people feel very strongly about vaccinations, but ultimately, if we were a country with money trees, a lot of these vaccinations might be given out.
Yeah.
Flu jab, yes. Would I have the flu jab? I had it when I was pregnant. They give it to you as routine when you're pregnant in this country, because obviously you don't really want to get the flu when you're pregnant. That can be
dangerous.
Personally, I'm of the school of thought that if you could stop yourself getting something, why wouldn't you? And the
but
flu
you can
is nasty.
Yeah, but you can
proper
still.
Flu is nasty.
You can still get the flu on the flu jab. That's
you can.
Yeah.
Let's talk about being a godparent, because if you ask me, being asked to be a godparent is one of life's greatest honours, and. As a parent, it's a pretty important decision. I thought we ought to write this piece because I met somebody at a party, and I talked about this before, who had had a child via a sperm donor, and I asked her if she had some great godparents for her son. And she said, oh, no, I'm an atheist. As a one-parent family,
mother of a son, it would be great to have male role models in your child's life. And it was a really nice conversation. And she said, she was like, you've really made me think. And actually, I really think I need to give myself some godparents. Mm. And I thought it was an interesting topic.
Yeah, really interesting.
Very interesting.
I have seven godchildren, and I feel so lucky to be a godmother.
Yeah.
I genuinely feel sort of so excited to watch them grow up and yes. to be a part of their lives. Yes. And I have four godparents. I just think it's such a positive. I don't see that there's any downside. When I was a teenager, my dad lived in Asia. He'd come back and we'd go and stay with my godfather and we just have the best weekends. And I sort of enjoyed my godfather's company a lot more than I did other friends of my parents. There was just a kind of different bond there. And I know that if the shit hit the fan, I could rely on them. Mm. And I just think it's a great thing. Mm. Do your children have godparents?
My children have six godparents each. I have five godparents. I have 12 godchildren. And I think the whole purpose of godparents is to have, beyond you as parents, people that you really respect.
Yeah, other people in your, other adults in your life.
Who you want to have, who you would like to positively influence your children. But also in olden days, I know that my parents chose my godparents. And the deal was that if ever anything happened to them, it would be the chosen godparents that were going to bring up my sister and I.
But that's a legal guardian. There's
and that is actually, but that is of all my godchildren, you know, I know that I'm not only saying yes to being a godmother, I'm also saying yes to if anything happens to the parents, I will bring these children into my life and I will be responsible for them in every single way, shape or form. So, you know, it's a huge honour.
Yeah,
that it's parents looking to you as a role model.
I think so. I think it's a huge honour to be asked.
Yes.
I think there is a difference between a guardian, so I am legal guardians to some friends' children.
Yeah.
And that means that if their plane goes down, those children.
Yeah, but in Denmark, godparents are legal guardians as well.
Okay,
automatically.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So here they're not. Mm. A godparent is someone that plays an active role in their child's life, but doesn't necessarily become their parent when they're
if they die.
What do you two think?
Are you a godmother, Astrid?
No, I'm not either.
My
godmother is my aunt, and I'm so close to her. I think there is, well, she's my aunt anyway, so she's blood, but there is such a special bond. And like you said, if, I don't know, if you didn't want to talk to your mum about something, I feel like I could go to her and she would absolutely have my back on anything.
And I think that's, I read in a book recently that I was reading about raising children that said it's really important to bring your children up and let them know if there's something they feel like they can't come to you about.
Yeah, they can trust their godparents. Yeah. Something that's uncomfortable to speak to your parents about. Mm.
Yes, that's the best
way to put it. There is a loyalty like grandparents.
Yeah.
It's people that you can go to that you know will keep whatever
it's
you have secret.
It's unconditional, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's secret, it's loyal, it's faithful.
And I think on the other side, like for my aunt, she's got two boys. So I'm kind of like the girl that she never had, which is so lovely for her.
So nice. My great friend is about to have her third boy and she would have loved a girl, but she's got two wonderful boys. She's about to have another, one of whom is my godson. But she's got something like five goddaughters. So we always say, you're going to do more wedding dress shopping than any of us have daughters. Because, I think if you don't have a daughter, it's quite nice.
Yeah.
Do you have godparents?
I do, but my parents chose really badly. So, I have three, but I only really, I'm close to one of them. I haven't heard from two of them for like 10 years.
That's why I have six. So I lost the battle with my husband. Actually, Coco has four and the other two have... No, Coco has four, Otto has five, Mimi has six. And actually, my stepmother said to me, who speaks a lot of sense, she's like, what have you got to lose? Why not have more? The chances are a few of them are going to drop off.
Well, exactly.
And one of my brothers, poor guy, two of his are dead and one they don't really see anymore, so he's left with one. So he adopted a godparent later in life.
That's
my dad.
That's kind of what I did as well.
They got on so well. Yeah. And he's now his honorary godfather. Yeah. He came to the confirmation and he's very much been treated as a godparent.
I love that. And I think that is actually a really, really good thing to do. When your children are conscious, I've got a very, very dear girlfriend of mine whose daughter is very conscious of the fact that her godparents are really not there for her in any way, shape or form. So she has, as a teenager, chosen her godparents. And I've got two of my friends who've become honorary godparents of my two boys, chosen by my boys because they play such a wonderful, active role in their lives where maybe
they come
in.
Maybe at the age of 13, every child should be able to go choose and pick an honorary godparent. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. I must have been, I was with the year I was confirmed, so it must have been 15, 16, and you have to choose a sponsor. And I chose a really close family friend of my parents. So she's kind of like, I've never said you're my honorary godmother, but she's always, you know, we've just got a very different kind of bond, as you say.
So I've always been
so flattered to be asked to be a godmother. I mean, I think it's the greatest thing you can be asked, actually. Yeah. But I think to be asked by a child to be their godmother, I mean, God, that would just melt your heart, wouldn't it?
I can't wait to be asked. I hope I get asked.
Of course you
will. Of course
will.
You will.
The other thing on the subject of godparents, I thought was a really nice point. Cara Goodley, who runs Goodley PR, I remember chatting to her once, and she said that for all her children, she chose a teenager, someone really young in her life that she knew to be a godparent, because it meant that when her child was 21, she had a godmother that was cool and young, or growing up. Really when the child was 13, she had a sort of 21-year-old godmother, and Cara's like, it's brilliant because they take her to Westfield and they go shopping. Yeah. And I thought it was really cool.
I was made godmother the first time when I was 6 years old to a boat. And the second time I was made to a boat. Yep.
Okay.
And the second time I was made a godmother, I was 8 years old.
Not to a boat.
To a boy.
To a boy.
So my godson is 34.
That's awesome. That's
cool. It is so cool. And he's handsome and gorgeous and wonderful. And when we are out together and I'm like, I'm his godmother, people are like, yeah.
The youngest I could get was, she's 28. So maybe. I couldn't find a teenager. It wasn't going to be a bit weird, but I think that's a great message. Caroline, let's talk about you. Can we talk about Ladies of London?
Absolutely.
So we were all quite big fans of Ladies of London.
Were
Astrid,
you?
I was obsessed with Ladies of London.
Astrid loved Ladies of London.
Were you, Astrid?
I loved it.
Really? Oh, what did you love about it?
To know you're just all so fun and
it was
fun. It seems like, I don't know how made up it is, but it seems like the less contrived of those shows of that ilk.
Or not.
But probably.
No, it's not contrived. I mean, it is, it's real.
And what
of course, producers absolutely go in and nudge a few subjects here and there that they want discussed, but I would say that it's pretty much very true to life and character.
And Caroline, you did series two?
And three.
Yes. And there were three series.
Yes.
And why aren't they making any more?
Well, you never know. I mean, it has been shelved,
shame,
I'm going to say for the time being, but I think that is simply due to the fact that TV nowadays, people going and watching an 8 o'clock show every night is happening less and less. People want to stream, and Bravo is not a streaming platform yet.
But it was huge in the States.
But funny enough, it's massive.
You all became like superstars there.
Massive. It's quite extraordinary being in the States. I was just in New York and LA now with Cook Yourself Happy for the book tour and the launch over there. And I was in Palm Beach in June, and I mean multiple times every single day. And people are they're so excited. Not to mention the crew flying there and flying back. I mean, it's quite extraordinary. They really love it. They love it to the point that I was taking a much needed nap in a sun chair in Palm Beach, and three women came in. They came and woke me up. So funny. But it's sweet, it's positive. They love it. I mean, they really, really love it. They really love it, which is wonderful. It's been a wonderful experience. And Juliet, funnily enough, yesterday sent me this text message saying that Bravo's most successful quarter ever in hitting their target group was the first quarter of 17, which was when Ladies of London was showed. You know what? That a lot of people want it, a lot of people miss it, and I think that they are absolutely considering what to do with it, simply because also what's replaced it has performed worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's music to our ears.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I met
the
producers when I was in the States, and I mean, they love it, they miss it, people miss it.
Yeah, it was fun, it was great fun. And Licensed Ladies of London, you've launched a cookbook.
I've written my cookbook. My cookbook's been released. And I have just done my second collection of affordable luxury, which is a homeware and kitchen and interiors collection in Denmark.
Well, Caroline, congratulations on Cook Yourself Happy.
Thank you very much.
It's a wonderful book. And you have really genuinely inspired me to go home and make a real effort to cook more meals and eat more meals with my children. So for me, thank you for that. Cook Yourself Happy is available on Amazon and at Waterstones bookshops. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Such fun to hang out with you.
As always.
And if you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review and subscribe on iTunes. See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.